All right, so with all that being said, I mean, I've preached some of my message already, but today the title of the message today is What, How, and Why. I'm going to go through two chapters quickly in the Bible that talk about the what's going on or what's wrong, how to fix it, and why you should fix it. The what, how, and why is very important. Most importantly, the why. But in order to get to the why, you have to identify the what. If you can't identify the what, then you can never get to the why. Does everybody follow me on that? English majors and all that stuff. You know, isn't that English ELA stuff? The what, how, why. What's the problem? How do we fix it, and why should we fix it? I'm going to be in Isaiah 58, and I'm also going to be in Psalm 19. If you want to find those two chapters, Isaiah 58 and Psalm 19. Now, Corey preached on New Year's about peace and prosperity and how your light will break forth. So as I said earlier, I want to piggyback off what he's already ministered and kind of put, you know, add my agreement to it and show you the revelation I'm getting from it. Peace and prosperity. Lord knows we all need that. We all want peace because we all have distractions or things that distract you from, you know, peace. And, you know, the enemy's always trying to turn things around. As soon as the enemy sees that you have the things going in the right direction, he finds a way to get you off track. And prosperity, everybody wants prosperity. Why? Because everybody has bills. Amen? I mean, adulting isn't easy, right? Wouldn't we all like to go back to high school and just live at home? Hey, Mom, you know, I just want to be here, you know, and have a good time. Can you pay for everything? Absolutely. No, we can't go back to that, right? The amazing thing about God is y'all have heard me preach this so many times, is God is always trying to grow us up. And you can be 20, you can be 80, and you can still grow. There is no way you're going to figure it all out before you are leaving this earth. It ain't going to happen. But you can darn sure try. You can darn sure try to get it all figured out. So, number one, Isaiah 58. Got so much to talk about, and I want to make sure I get it all in here. Number one, in Isaiah 58, so I'm going to talk about no sacrifice, okay? The what is we don't know how to sacrifice. He says, cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. I'm reading from the Amplified. He said, and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day and night and delight superficially to know my ways. He said, you're doing, you know, somewhat the right thing, but you're doing it the wrong way. You're superficial. You're a fake. You're doing it for, man please or whatever. He said, and is as if they were in reality a nation that has done righteousness and has not abandoned or turned away from the ordinances of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight in the nearness of God. He said, why in verse 3, why have we fasted, they say, and you do not see it? In other words, they're like, well, we're sacrificing God. You don't see it. And he's up there like, well, you got the wrong heart. See, the thing about God is, you know, the you remember the scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice? Just because you're doing something good doesn't mean you're doing it right, okay? So you have to remember that just doing something that, you know, that has God's name on it doesn't mean you're doing it right, okay? So he says, verse 3, why have you fasted, they say, and you do not see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not know us? Notice, he said, hear this, O Israel, on the day of your fast, when you should be grieving for your sins, you find something you desire to do. Take heart to that. Take notice of that. Remember what we said in the tithes and offerings message. Learn how to hear. Okay? He said, verse 4, and you force your hired servants to work instead of stopping all work as the law teaches. So in the Old Testament times, the day of the Sabbath day was a day of rest and recovery. And he said, you're still trying to find ways to make a dollar on a day you're supposed to be resting. Does it mean you can't make money on the Sabbath? It doesn't mean that at all. God designed certain things for a reason. You have, how many of you know you have to have a mental break from work? It ain't always physical. The physical part is yes, it can be tough. All the walking around, you know, all this and that. And if you're in a laborious occupation, where you're having to work your hands and, you know, you have to stand up and you have to dig and you have to pull and you have to use your body. Yeah, you need a physical break, but there are times you need a mental break too. You have to mentally walk away from it. He said, the facts are that you fast only for strife and brawling and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You do not fast as you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is a fast such as this, which I have chosen, a day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his heart? Is it only to bow down his head like a reed and to make sackcloth and ashes as a bed, pretending to have a repentant heart? He said, do you call this a fast and a day of pleasing to the Lord? So here's some notes that I wrote about not sacrifice, okay? The sacrifice of Old Testament is not the same probably as it is today. Yeah, it's similar. But a lot of the things that we have here today don't look like, you know, 2,000 years ago. We have to find what it is that we're doing that is our desires, that is preceding God's ways of doing things. We have so many desires to prosper, and that's good. God designed you to want to do those things. But your desire to prosper cannot supersede or come before doing God's ways of doing things. Remember what I said. Just because you're doing something good doesn't mean you're doing it right. There are, and I've said this so many times because it is so true. If all we had to do was say, you know, just God, just provide. If that was the case, why is it that missionaries in foreign countries go broke? Because they're doing something good. You think, well, God should be supplying money and everything they need, so they don't have to eat cockroaches and beetles over there and eat grasshoppers over there because they ran out of money. They're doing something good, but does it mean they're in the right place? Maybe they went over there without God's approval. Maybe God didn't want them to go there. Maybe God wanted them to go somewhere else. Maybe God didn't want them to go at all. But I'm telling you something right now. Let me tell you how to understand it and where prosperity comes from. If you're doing it right, prosperity will always be there. God always provides for something that He has called you to do. You will never suffer or go broke doing what God has told you to do. If you're struggling, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not doing the right thing that God told you to do, but you might be doing it the wrong way. So we have to be sensitive to the things that we desire and make sure that we don't put them before what God is calling us to do. Here's one I've been listening to Chip Brim. If you've ever heard Chip Brim, if you've been here long enough, you know Chip Brim's been here to minister. It's Billy Brim's son. He's been ministering on a subject called fasting negativity. Hello. How many times have you been negative out there in the world? I mean, it's easy in traffic to be negative. Amen? I'm driving a school bus the other day down in Austin, going to the Ballet of Austin, taking all the dance kids down there. And this guy jumps, you know how Austin is down there, you know where all the one-way streets are. This dude just right in front of me, and I'm like, you know, I hit the brakes, and I go, and then there was other teachers sitting behind me, and I was like, you know, like, where are you going? You got to cut in front of a school bus. It just saved you 3 seconds, you know. I mean, you know, the first thing I thought of was, maybe he has to use the restroom. Maybe he's trying to get home. Everybody's been there, right? Like, oh my God. You start sweating because you got to get to, you know, somewhere. And that's what I told the teachers behind me. You know, I used to be critical of those people. But then I started thinking to myself, I've done that before. I've cut in front of somebody before. I used to be the first to be like, that's sorry sucker. Now I'm like, I used to be that sorry sucker. I've done that before. So fasting negativity is something I have started noticing. And let me tell you, it is hard, hard, hard to not want to say something negative. Okay? This is a sacrifice. Okay, when God's talking about sacrifices, this is what Chip was talking about. Trying to find ways to get rid of the negativity. Because if you think about all the negativity, especially when you say it to yourself, it's only hurting you. But when you say it around other people, it starts hurting the whole atmosphere. So fasting negativity, that's a good one for a sacrifice. Learning how to notice when you say the wrong thing or you get mad about something. Or, you know, something bothers you. Or, man, I got to go to the grocery store. We've all been there, amen. We wish we all had an HEB in the backyard, amen. We don't want to have to drive across town. Your HEB used to be right there. Now it's still right there. It just takes longer to get right there, amen. Here's another one. Fasting social media. I mean, it's great to want to keep up with everybody, but there is so much negative out there. And a lot of times it's from church people. Guys, the church people have to be the ones using social media for the positive in the world, not the negative. Oh, yeah, I saw that guy the other day. He's out there doing this and that. Yeah, I saw him. And you start adding your agreement, and then the algorithm starts working in your behalf on all the negativity. Fasting your food. That's a tough one. The first time I ever passed a kidney stone was the first day I started learning about how to eat correctly. And then when I passed the second one, I was like, I really got to do better at learning about these things to eat and not eat. What do you eat? What do you not eat? You're always going to struggle with that. Guys, the food out there is not perfect. And unless you have 1,000 acres growing your own stuff, it's going to be hard to eat the right things. Is there good things out there to eat? Yes. But having to do all the research to find it? Yes. It's going to take a sacrifice to find out what it is. And ever since I started taking some supplements, I've started feeling better. Supplements for energy to exercise. Supplements that just give you healthy energy. And yes, things that you take to get rid of kidney stones. If you've never passed one, you don't ever want to pass one. Starts right here, and you cannot get comfortable. I mean, it is painful, and you cannot get comfortable. It feels like somebody's taking barbed wire and just going right down your back, and then it doesn't quit hurting for like an hour and a half until it gets to the bladder. So fasting your food, I don't know if y'all have ever done a fast. I have. No, it's not easy, but let me tell you something. Even if God doesn't call you to a fast and you decide to fast, God will bless that situation when you decide to sit down and just fast for a little bit. God will say things to you when you're fasting that you would not hear otherwise. Because your body goes, now if you studied out the science part of it, your body goes through a detox. And when your body starts going through a detox, you start getting back to the way you should be. So fasting food matters. Am I telling you to go out there and fast 21 days like some of these churches do? No, I'm not telling you that at all. But if you could fast one thing, like your favorite whatever, that's a sacrifice. Prayer time is a sacrifice. It takes time to go to the prayer closet. Whether it's in the morning, I'm not telling you to get religious about it. I'm not saying you have to do it in the morning or in the evening. I'm not saying you have to do both or whatever. Sometimes it's good to do both. I do mine in the morning. I love getting up, putting in my earbuds, listening to other people preach. Then I go read the word. Then I pray. I do whatever. Sometimes I run out of time and I got to go. Sometimes I get to stay a little longer. And I get in there in the right time and I hear from God. There's sometimes God don't say anything. And I'm like, you know, surely he didn't fall asleep up there. Sometimes God will talk to you. Sometimes you know it's God. And sometimes he's just like, read the word and be quiet and go to work, you know. And here's the other one that I've already kind of mentioned. Find a way to step away from your work. Sacrifice. It's harder for independent people that are entrepreneurs. It's harder for people that own the company to step away from the job. I understand that. It's easy when you're just the employee. You can leave your job and you can just leave it there. It's much easier. But the guy that runs the company, it's a lot harder. Why? Because there is more that you are responsible for. But you have to make time to step away from your work, you have to fast work. Leave your job at your job. When you go home, you be a husband, a father, or whatever. When you leave your job, you go home and be what you're supposed to be in the home. Your home is a sanctuary. Your bedroom with your spouse is your sanctuary for your marriage. It's supposed to be special. It should be a place. Your prayer time, your prayer closet should be a sanctuary. If you don't want to talk in front of your kids about stuff, then go to your sanctuary. If you want to talk to your kids about stuff, then go back into that sanctuary and start, you know, communicating with them what they're supposed to do. Their boyfriends, their girlfriends, their this, their that, what they're dealing with at school, what they're dealing with teachers. My teacher didn't like this. I don't like my teacher in science. Just pass the class, okay? Quit complaining about the teacher. Yes, we've had bad ones. None of us are perfect. I've never told anybody, hey, I know what I'm doing there in that ag class. I know what I'm doing. You know, we're undefeated in basketball 3 years in a row. I don't ever claim to know it all. You just do the best you can. If it works, great. If it doesn't, go do something else. Amen? So number two, genuine sacrifice. This is the how. This is the how part, okay? Where am I at? Verse 6. He says, rather, is this not the fast which I choose, to undo the bonds of wickedness, to tear to pieces the ropes of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and break apart every enslaving yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house when you see the naked that you cover him, and not to hide yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood? Genuine sacrifice is the how. God is saying, you ain't doing this right. A genuine fast is all of those things. This sacrifice that he's talking about is all about helping others. We just talked about this in kids ministry. Am I trying to harp on this? No, I'm just telling you, that's just part of it. That's a sacrifice. Genuine sacrifice is you saying, you know what, I'm maturing as a Christian. I think I can go back there and help with those kids. Even if you don't have kids in there, we don't have kids in there, and yet we still help in that area. The sacrifice is about helping others, not just on Sunday. It should be a habit. It should be a culture. The culture in this locker room should walk out the door into the world with you into the arena of life. The one thing they talk about in locker rooms, whether it's football or basketball or whatever, anytime you have a team sport, there has to be a culture of people that get along. Have you ever watched a football? I mean, I've been in locker rooms with these guys, and I know what they do. They get all fired up. They're patting each other on the shoulder pads. They're slapping their helmets, you know. They're not doing that because they're crazy. They're trying to warm themselves up. They're trying to build this culture, trying to build this atmosphere. Okay, let's get fired up. Let's get focused. Let's get focused. Does it walk out onto the field when they leave the doors and walk out of the locker room? You bet it does. They walk out there, they get fired up, they stand behind the blow-up panther and they, you know, whatever mascot it is, they stand, they're getting fired up, they're in there and they're trying to get fired up. And they're like, yes, let's go do it, let's go out. They're not in there laying like, all right, this is going to be fun, guys. All right, here we go. And the smoke blows and the crowd's cheering. No, it's a culture of victory. If you cannot create the culture in the locker room that you can do this when you walk out there, then you won't take what's in here out there. You'll walk out the door, be the same person that you were when you walked in. You'll get in your car. You'll go eat at the local restaurant. You'll go home and go live another 6 days out there in the world doing the same old thing, doing it the same old way. The sacrifices, this sacrifice that God is talking about is about helping you do right, but to also help others do right, or to help others break free from an enslavement of bondage. He said, this is what I want. I don't want you working on this day. I don't want you pushing your help on 7 days a week. You cannot do that. You need to take a break. You need to bring people into your house and feed them because they're hungry, whether it's your employees or whether it's just people that need a place to go on Thanksgiving or whatever. It is about developing a culture. We understand that because we're here every Sunday, but I can tell you right now when you go out into the public place, and I've heard this, there are so many people out there that do not have the same culture of giving like this church. There are so many people that don't even get to hear this. They never preach it behind the podium. They don't teach a culture of giving. It's all about, hey, we're glad you're here. We're going to build a mega church. There's 2,000 of us here. What's amazing about some mega churches is there are so many people there that 99% of the people that are coming and then leaving. And there's always just a chosen few of the people that have been there since the beginning of the church, before it was a mega church. They're all the ones that are doing all the serving. 99% of them are going to church and they're going home. Because why? Desires of their heart. Oh, great, we came to church. God loves us, you know. God sees that we came to church. And then they get into the works of the word instead of getting into the actual word, which is the servant part. Yes, we are a tight group in here. Yes, we want to see this church. We want to see all those chairs full of people. Yeah, we want to knock this wall down. This building is designed to knock this wall down and go that way. That's how these buildings are built. We want to knock them down. And if you're one of those who says, well, you don't want a big church, well, you're in the wrong business. This is what God operates. This is how God operates. He don't want 10 in here. He wants thousands. And he wants thousands to hear the word, not just the few. So yes, this is the sacrifice. Am I telling you what you're supposed to do? No, you've got to figure out this stuff for yourself and figure it out where God wants you to do your sacrificing. What is it that he's been telling you to do that you've been... God will never promote you past your last, whatever he last commanded you to do. Whatever he last told you to do, until you do that, you will never move up in God's kingdom. He's like, if I can't trust you to do this, what I've commanded you to do, why should I bring prosperity to you? Why should I bring more things to you when you can't even do what I told you to do last? Yes, it is a father-son relationship. Are you going to promote you going to buy your kids a Corvette if they can't take care of the half-ton Chevy? Absolutely not. You know why? Because they're not responsible enough to manage something that's cheaper. You're not going to buy them a Lamborghini. You're not going to buy them the Ferrari. You're not going to give them permission to drive if they can't drive a golf cart. Amen? That's how my kids learn. Drive the golf cart, then you drive something a little bigger, the Jeep Wrangler or something, then you get a little bit bigger, then you get a little bit... It teaches them space awareness. You don't just throw them in the big bus and say, hey, take off, have fun. Oh man, I got so much to talk about. Okay. Here's the why in this chapter. Here's the why. It's peace and prosperity, and your light will shine. You will get revelation. Peace and prosperity is the why. And then your light, like we talked about in the tithes and offerings, about your light being set in the room so that not only you can see, but others can see. Okay, verse 8. Now, Corey preached this, I think it was New Year's. He says, then your light will break out like the dawn. How many of you know you want your light to break forth? When he says your light is about to break forth, there's something big coming. He said, and your healing, your restoration, new life will quickly spring forth. Your righteousness will go before you. My friends, don't ever forget that scripture right there. When you start doing things right, your righteousness goes before you. People know you before they ever see you. They've heard about you already. Oh, yeah, I know that guy. Yeah, I've heard about that guy. Your righteousness goes before you. Now watch what else it says. And it says, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Your righteousness goes before you, and the glory will be... Isn't it amazing how God gave us eyes in the front, but not in the back? Isn't it amazing? Thank God he put our noses pointed down instead of pointing up. We'd drown every time it rains. Amen? See, he knew what he was doing when he made this body. He said, look forward. Why? Because that's where we're supposed to be going. He designed us. I mean, he symbolically designed us. And he, you know, you can use just the human body to explain the way God operates. Go forward. We don't need to look back here. He said, I got this back here. You just keep going this way. Let your righteousness go before you. Now listen, I wrote this down because I got this revelation when I heard Corey preach this, okay? Just because you can't see the blessing doesn't mean it's not in the room. Okay, now watch this. You are one revelation away from an aha moment. You ever had one of those like, yes, that's it? Your righteousness goes before you, and the glory will be your rear guard. You are one revelation away. My friends, it's already, the blessing is already in your presence. You just haven't noticed it yet. This is not some prosperity gospel that I'm preaching. I'm here to tell you that it's already in your presence. You just haven't taken notice of it yet. And you might be one moment of obedience away from going to your next level. Because God's telling you to do something, and until you do that, until you get a hold, just let's just take tithes and offerings, for instance. God's been telling you for years, you need to learn how to be a giver. You need to learn about tithes and offerings, what it means, what it is, why do we even do it? You might be one tithe away from seeing thousands come into your presence. An aha moment is the funnest part of the day. You ever have an aha moment? You just all of a sudden forget about all your troubles, don't you? You're like, yes, that's it. Why didn't I think of that? You didn't think of it because you weren't listening to God. That's your problem. The other day, I wrote this down because it's just, I deal with kids all the time, and I have several of these little testimonies in here. But the other day, I have all seventh graders, okay? So they always bring these little forms that say, hey, can you fill this out for NJHS and, you know, NJHS Junior Honor Society? And then there's also one for cheer. There's also one for dance. And I always kid around and say, well, what do you want me to put in the comments section? Coach, can you just lie but tell the truth? Or she goes, also, can you tell the truth but just lie a little bit? And I just look at them like, how do you do that? I don't understand what you're asking. Coach, just lie but tell the truth. Okay, explain that to me. How do I do that? Well, you know, coach, you know, and it's amazing. It's amazing what our kids think. They actually believe that that is possible. They actually believe that, you know, coach, you know, people do it all the time. That just justifies, that just settles it right there. Everybody else doing it. Let's just all do it. Everybody else lies, coach. They lie. I don't lie, you know. I'm not going to lie about stuff. Like, what do you want me to put in the comment section? And I always kid around with them, like when I'm filling out and pretend I'm, there's no comments in the form, but I always make them think that there is. Coach, what did you put? You know, I told them that you wanted me to lie but tell the truth. No, you didn't put that, did you? Please tell me you didn't. What do you want me to tell them about your behavior in here? Perfect. Okay, I'll put perfect. I'll lie, but then I'll tell them the truth. She's perfect, but she's not perfect, okay? I've been reading that book by Rick Renner called How to Keep Your Head on Straight in a Crazy World. Let me tell you what's wrong with churches these days. Churches have been deluded into thinking that we can appeal to everyone and still tell the truth. If we just serve them some coffee back there and some donuts, when they come here, they'll just stick. No, not to discredit the coffee and the donuts, but the coffee and the donuts don't keep nobody nowhere. And if it does keep them there, then they got poverty minds. Well, they serve coffee and donuts there. Oh, they got a good kids ministry. Let me tell you something. Don't pick a church because they got a good kids ministry. Don't pick a church because they got a good youth group. You're the one that's the leader of the house, not the kids. You know how many people have left churches because they think, well, my kid's having more fun over here. Or his buddies from school go to church over here, but they don't preach the word. You're going to go over here and sacrifice the rest of eternity because you want your kids to be happy? And you don't want to hear the word because it's too hard, because Corey said shut up or say the word. Say the word or shut your mouth. Let me tell you something. Growth may require a little bit of hardship. You can't pass the test without studying. The best things in life are the things that require you to put forth a little effort. Because if it just falls in your lap, what good was it? It's like the best thing I ever heard Tiger Woods say. He said, I mean, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but this is basically what he said. He said, why would I go play for Live Golf and get paid to play when there's no reward for hard work? Why am I going to go over there and get paid to play? So I can be terrible or be good. They're still going to pay me. What kind of athlete is that? What are you telling those athletes? Well, you don't have to. You can just be terrible. Just stay at home, sleep all day, sleep all night, show up at the golf tournament, look like you know what you're doing. We'll pay you, you know, $10 million, $100 million, whatever it is. There's no reward for struggle. There's no reward for work. Over here, you got to win to get paid. And if you don't work hard, you know Winnie. And if you know Winnie, you don't get paid. You don't win nothing. There's no reward for hard work. Okay, I got to move on. Psalm 19. I'm going to go through this real fast because we're getting close to the end of time here. I want to show you something. I'm on the Message Bible this time. Okay, now watch this. I'm going to hustle. Okay, now again, this is the what, how, why. The what is wrong path and directions, okay? Psalm 19, 1 verse 6. He says, God's glory is on tour in the skies. God craft on exhibit across the horizon. Madam Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures each evening. The words aren't heard. Their voices aren't recorded. But their silence fills the earth. Well, when I read that, I was like, that's it. You remember the scripture that says sometimes it's just better to just be quiet? Because I heard a preacher say this one time. You can, well, what, exactly how do you say it? Let me say it this way. Let me get this right. Silence can never be misquoted. Nobody can ever say you said when you never said. Now watch this. Their voices aren't recorded, but their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is spoken everywhere. God makes a huge dome for the sun, a superdome. The morning sun's a new husband leaping from his honeymoon bed. The day-breaking sun, an athlete running to the tape. Watch this. That's how God's word vaults across the skies from sunrise to sunset, melting the ice, scorching deserts, warming hearts to faith. Now watch this. People have trouble finding right paths in life. God set creation, now watch this, God set creation on a path, and it has been traveling that path for years. He set it in motion, and it's still doing the same old thing. And then you can go even into the April 8th that's coming up with the solar eclipse and all that stuff. I mean, that won't happen again for hundreds or whatever years. It's like 365 years but before it'll ever happen again. God is a God of order, okay? If things are not going right in your life, it's probably because you have some things out of order. Okay, now watch this. I had a kid the other day. I have a stud runner in track right now. Okay, if he was here, I would still preach this message. I'm telling you right now. And I told him what I thought about what he said. This kid, he's in seventh grade and can run the mile faster than eighth graders by 20 seconds. This kid is fast. Probably a future Olympian. I don't know. It ain't because I'm coaching him correctly, I promise you. Yes, I can help him get better, but I'm telling you, genetics right now plays a big role in what that kid does. And this is what he said to me. He said, Coach, I don't have any competition. He said, I have no one to push me. And I looked at him and said, so you would rather be terrible and not be any good at this? Would you rather be terrible and have somebody running by you the whole time? Because I'm telling you, when he runs, if they're running the mile and a half, which is six laps, by the third lap, he's overlapping people. I said, would you rather be terrible? See, that's wrong thinking. Now, just think about this. What if the sun got up one day and said, you know, I don't have any competition. I think I'll just quit rotating around the earth. What if God's universe said that? What if the stars didn't show up at night? And this is what I said to him. I said, son, you've got to learn how to run alone. I said, just because you don't have somebody pushing you doesn't mean you ain't doing it right. When you're that good, you've got to learn how to run by yourself. I said, you can't have some, and this is scriptural. You cannot go through life waiting for somebody else to motivate you. You are in charge of motivating yourself. You cannot wait for competition. Do you think a businessman opens a business and said, you know what, I don't have anybody that can push me here. I'm making millions. I don't have anybody to compete with me. And? Was that a problem for you? Coach, I don't have anybody that can push me. All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to stick a cheetah out in front of you, and you're going to chase that sucker. You know how they do with the greyhounds? They put the rabbit out there. You mean put a rabbit out in front of you and make you chase it? He's the type of kid that doesn't have sprint ability. He has pick a gear and stay in that gear just like this. Running around, just running laps. No problem. Keep that gear. He just keeps that gear the whole time. Running as a seventh grader, running a 5-10 mile. That's amazing. And eighth graders are running it in like 5:20, 5:30. I said, son, you got wrong thinking. I said, you do not have to have somebody motivate you. You better learn how to run by yourself. Because in life, if you're going to require people to motivate you all the time, you're going to be in trouble. Because I can tell you right now, everybody else has the same cares that you got. And you better learn how to figure it out. You better learn. Let me tell you what a preacher said one time. He said, you better make God your business partner. And you make God your business partner, you'll never struggle in business. He'll teach you how to handle employees. He'll teach you how to find the newest thing to take you to a new level. He'll help you invent things. I mean, if people can get on social media and do silly stuff and make millions, why can't we be the inventors of the light bulb? You better learn how to run by yourself. Because now when you're down and out, let me tell you, God can send somebody to help you. But 99% of your life, it's going to be you motivating yourself. Do you think it's easy to show up in a gym and try to exercise and work out? No. There are times I go in there in my workout facility and I'm like, I don't feel like doing this. I might take a 3-minute nap before I get started, but I'm going to darn sure do it. There are times when I walk in there and I'm like, I don't like what I see in the mirror. I'm tired. Or there's just the cares of life, you know. And you can't come home at 10 o'clock and exercise. Because if you do, you know, it's hard to go to sleep because your adrenaline's running. You know, then, you know, which one do you pick? Good night's rest or go exercise and don't go to sleep till 2 o'clock in the morning. So, no, it's not always going to be easy. But I'm telling you, exercise, whatever. You're going to have to motivate yourself. Fasting food, you're going to have to motivate yourself. Because it's going to be painful sometimes to give up coffee. To give up your favorite sweets or whatever. Okay, let me finish and close right here. So the how is laws and statutes. Okay, I could go through this. I can't read them all. If you look in Psalm 19, verse 7 through 10, he talks about the law of the Lord. Chapter 19, verse 7 through 10, he talks about the revelation of God, the signposts of God, the life maps of God, the directions of God. God's reputation, now this is what really just blew me away. God's reputation is 24 karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. And it's even more than that. It's an eternal guarantee. But while you're here on this earth, it's a lifetime guarantee. His word, his precepts, his direction in life, his life maps for you, everything that you're thinking about or trying to figure out in life, it's all right there. All of God's word is the answer. We don't have to look for it in a new president. Lord knows we need one, but hallelujah. We're going to praise the Lord no matter how bad it gets. We might have to all start growing our own groceries, but it's not in a new president. It's not in a new government, even though, yes, some of those things need to be changed. But that's not our salvation. And the why is to be perfect and know the way. Verse 11 through 14. And I'm closing. He says, there's more. He said, God's word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. That's the why. I'm telling you, prosperity is in your presence. It's just a matter of you getting revelation on how to find it. It's already there. It's all around you. Miracles are happening around you all the time. He says, keep me from stupid sins, from thinking I can take over your work. Then I can start this day sun washed, scrub clean of grime of sin. These are the words of my mouth that I chew on and pray. Accept them when I place them on the morning altar. To be perfect and know. To be a good hearer so that you can be a good doer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we are so thankful for your word that when it goes forth, it never returns void. Your word is our salvation. It is our direction. It is our healing. It is our path to victory. Your word is also our salvation. So if you're not saved and you're in this, you know, you're in church maybe for the first time, maybe you've been going to church your whole life, maybe you've never heard, you know, this preached before, maybe you didn't know Jesus was your salvation. Let me tell you something. Jesus came to this earth for you. God sent his son to die for you. So if you're not saved today, we're not going to embarrass you, not going to bring you up to the front, not going to make you do anything. All we're going to do is make you recite a scripture. Now, let me tell you something about reciting this, or not recite scripture, but recite and repeat after me. Here's what I want you to do first, though, if you're not saved. Your heart has to be right with God. Just saying what we're about to say does not save you. It's believing what you say that matters. Your heart has to be right with God. You got to receive the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. When you receive that and you believe it, and you have a total change of heart where you turn from your wicked ways and decide that you're going to follow God, you're going to follow this Christ that was sent thousands of years ago to die on a cross for you, and you're going to receive him today. Your heart has to be right. So as we pray this, I want you to believe in your heart. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to believe in your heart before you pray it. And start believing that you should have a sinless, different, God-fearing life. Repeat after me. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins and redeemed me from hell. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you decided today that today is the day that you're going to do things different. You've received Jesus, you're going to turn away from wrong ways of thinking. And you receive Jesus today for the very first time. I want you on the count of three, just raise your hand and let us know that you did that. And it's just, nobody's looking around, it's just me. So you just need to know, you know, we just like confirmation. We just love to see the Word of God manifesting through confession. So Father, we thank you for that. Lord. So if there's anybody here that did that, on the count of three, just raise your hand. Ready, one, two, three, go. Is there anybody? Anybody? All right, well, look at me. Thank the Lord. All right, good. So that means you should be good hearers, and you're going to go out and do it, right? And go get other people saved. Amen? That's on you. Let's do it. Take the culture of what's in here, take it to the car, and go home and get fired up for Jesus. Amen? Love you guys.